Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yesterday I was driving back from the annual church retreat to Green Lake, Wisconsin. It's about a 3-hour trip. And I listened to the whole of the musical Hamilton on the way for the first time, all the way through. I knew some of the songs and have known them for a while now. My children, particularly my oldest daughter, plays them quite regularly. But this was the first time I got the order right, and so I sort of understood what was going on. Some of you know the musical well. Anybody here seen it? Yeah, I know a few of you have. And many of you have loved it. It's a now famous story, of course, about Alexander Hamilton's tumultuous life and his powerful rise as one of the founding fathers in our nation. One of the songs is about the Battle of Yorktown, which is now known as a decisive victory in the American Revolution. At the time, with so much unknown about the future of this new and young nation, the words to the song speak to how people really felt the world was turning upside down. And at the very end, the chorus keeps repeating, "The world turned upside down. The world turned upside down. The world turned upside down. The world turned upside down." Sometimes the world does feel like that, doesn't it? I was 26 when I first learned this verse by heart. We just heard Kathy read some of these verses from Jeremiah 29. In the span of 4 years, when I was 26, from the time I was 22 to when I was 26, I had moved far away from home, had met and married my husband, had started seminary, had walked with my parents through their own divorce, and I'd started working full-time in ministry. That's a lot for 4 years, isn't it? Things move fast when you're in your 20s, though. But for me, the rate of change was a bit dizzying. One spring day, I was sitting at my desk. I was thrilled to have a desk in an office when I was 26. And I pulled out the Cokesbury catalog, the church catalog, and I was getting ready to order graduation gifts for the seniors in high school in our congregation. And I found this verse. I had known it before, but it just particularly spoke to me at that point in my life. It was all over the bookmarks and the cards that you were to give to graduating seniors. "For I know the plans I have for you." Some of you know this absolutely by heart, right? "Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." Maybe you know that this verse was actually originally written, and the other verses in the context of this chapter, to people whose world had turned upside down. The two biggest stories of the Old Testament are the story of the Exodus. You know that story, when God's people were led out of slavery into freedom. Think Egypt, right? And Moses and the burning bush and his call and the Ten Commandments and the wilderness for how many years? 40. And the Promised Land. We hear these stories mostly in Exodus, but also in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy as well. And then the other big story in the Old Testament is one you may not know quite as well, which came long after the Exodus, and that's the exile. And the exile is a story of displacement. When the Israelites were caught up, God's people were caught up in political grabs for power with all these roaring nations, and they were forced to abandon all that they knew, their homeland, some of them in chains and taken away from their promised land, thousands of miles away. The psalmist best illustrates some of the agony and longing for their homeland that the exile represented. If you know the musical Godspell, you've heard some of these words from the Psalms. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept and we remembered Zion, our homeland." It is this longing for home, friends, this displacement into unfamiliar territory, this grief at how everything has changed, and even the fear that the people had, that they were somehow being punished. It is into this world that the words of Jeremiah 29:11 come. I know, says the Lord, the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future with hope. You and I live in a world that is a world of exile in a way, longing for home. Most of us have not experienced the extreme of losing everything we know, everything we love, and being forced away from our homes, although we probably know folks who have, and certainly we know about that from the news. But we know what it is, each of us, to have the world sometimes move too fast for us at a dizzying speed. We may know the feeling of wanting to hold on to things the way they were if they were good. We may know the feeling of coming here on a Sunday morning and praying for a comfort and a strength that kind of takes away the slightly nauseous feeling we have in the pit of our stomach that all is not right with the world. Or maybe all is not right with my world. I've lost my way, some of you may be thinking, and I need to find my way back home. For the last few weeks here at Trinity, we've been thinking and talking together and looking at Scripture to help us find our way and to find God's will, which is not just a one-time deal. It's a constant discernment for our lives together in faith. We've looked at several different scriptures. This is one of my favorite, and this one was actually a memory verse for some of our kids who went to camp this summer. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may figure out what is God's will, what is pleasing and acceptable and mature. We've been talking about finding our way here at Trinity as a church in a world where everything is changing. And the population of our church is aging. We're not alone in that. So many wise people we have among us. And we have so many treasures here. But what we want to talk about together and live into together is how can we be ready as the body of Christ to live out the gospel for the next 60 years, right? As has been done here for 61 years already. How can we lead people into following Jesus and living that pattern of the Christian life that is all about losing oneself? All about dying and rising again. All about the power of the resurrection to triumph over all the powers of this world that tell us we are not enough, that we don't have enough, and that take life away from us and those we love. How can we discover God's will for us, and what is the right road? It's so tempting when things are not going well in our own lives or sometimes in churches or maybe in your workplace. You've experienced that. It's so tempting to blame someone else or to blame something else. It's easy to think that if we just had the right magic bullet or read the right book or took the right pill or whatever it would be, that everything would be okay. Our culture teaches us that, doesn't it? That's the pattern that our culture often tells us to be true. And especially when we see so many things changing around us, it can be easy to grab on to the quickest thing or the easiest thing or the convenient thing. For those of us who love the church, and I'm looking out and I've seen a lot of people who do love the church and who've been a part of churches for our whole lives, many of you have, not just here in the United States, but other countries as well, we feel a little bit of a sense of displacement when we look around and see that sometimes soccer replaces Sunday school. And mega churches, we sometimes think at least, seem to know better than we do how to do all this and reach out. Or maybe when the new hymns just don't sound the same as the old ones. Whatever it may be, we may feel a sense of displacement. I just wanted you to look at this for a minute. The Barna Group does all sorts of research around religion and churches, and you'll be hearing some more about Trinity in the next few months from our strategic planning team and how we see our future together. But I think some of what we hear from church consultants, or we hear from a wise friend, or we hear from a trusted advisor or a teacher, is that they sometimes can tell us something we already know, but just need to have affirmed within ourselves. And so this is kind of interesting. So 73% of Americans identify as being Christian, right? You see the 20% there. That's pretty big. This is from 3 years ago, but so maybe the 20% has grown. I don't know. And then other faiths as well are in there. And then the next slide there, 55% go to church. And so we know that there is a spiritual yearning out there, right, from this, that perhaps we as a church need to figure out how to tap into. So this is what we already experience this, and we see this in our world today. If you know 10 neighbors around you, you may know that not many of them affiliate with a church right now. You'll be hearing more in the next month or so from our Team 2020 as we kind of seek to address this place of exile, this displacement. Things are not the way they used to be, and they never will be, and that can be a hard pill to swallow, whether we're talking about Trinity or our life, our individual lives. There's a new name, actually, for the way that we can see the world around us in our postmodern world. The new name is actually post-Christian. Have you heard that? That we're living into a time and a place in our society where people may consider themselves post-Christian, and we need to think about what that means. And so there's a new road for us to follow, a new way to follow Jesus, and a new hope that comes with that. You've heard the famous phrase, you can't go home again. And I want to tell you that the prophet Jeremiah knew that it would be a long, long time before God's people found their way out of exile and would be restored to the promised land. Many generations would live in Babylon before that happened. And yet the prophet Jeremiah, in the few verses right before that famous memory verse of verse 11, says to the people there, put down roots, build houses and live in them, plant gardens, take wives for your son, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and multiply. And the last thing he says to them is, seek the well-being of the place where you are, the city where you find itself, for in its well-being you will find yours. And maybe you knew this as well, but in the time of exile, in this time of displacement and despair for some, most of the books of the Bible, as we know it today, actually came into being, the Old Testament at least, most of the books of the Old Testament came into written form during that time. It was a difficult time, but also a creative time. And isn't that true for our own lives as well, that in some of the hardest places, God speaks words of hope to us and brings about change that we might not expect? The poets say it beautifully. T.S. Eliot, in his four quartets at the very end, we shall not cease from exploration on the journey, and at the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. That's the promise that God gives to each and every one of us as well. I've been with you for 2 years now as your pastor, and I know some of your hopes and fears, not all of them. I know some of what you're struggling with, and not all of them, nor do I need to know all of them. But what I want you to hear today is that wherever you are, whatever it is in your life that is keeping you exiled from that place where you can feel that love, that place called home, that place where God is holding you, and where you know with deep certainty that you are a beloved child, whatever is keeping you from that place today, I pray that you would find a way to be planted there for a while, to listen for what God is trying to say to you, to find hope in knowing that God desires your well-being, that God has a future and a hope for you and plans for that. God loves you, a good friend of mine says, and there's nothing you can do about it. Friends, we at Trinity have a path ahead of us. You and I have our own individual paths, our journeys laid out before us. May we know that wherever we find ourselves on that road, whatever questions we are struggling with, God holds us, God's love is there for us, and God will lead us home. May it be so for you and for me and for all God's people. Amen.